You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Check this. The NFL Podcast with Gil Alexander and Dave Kellner.
Indeed, welcome along to the NFL Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of week number 6 in the National Football League. Four games to preview on this podcast. We've got the Eagles at the Redskins, the Falcons at the Seahawks, the Colts at the Texans, and the Jets at the Cardinals. And it's Dave Kellner here in the UK, joined by Gil Alexander live from Las Vegas to take a look at these matches in week 6 of the National Football League. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to the man live from Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander on the line right now. Good morning to you, Gil.
Good morning. What a beautiful day in Vegas it is, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well. What's the weather like out there, Gil?
October's pretty spectacular in Vegas. If you come here, this is all a little travel information for everybody in the UK in case you wanted a travel update. Don't come here in July, for God's sakes, you'll die. It's an oven. or August. But, you know, September and October are gorgeous. And Vegas is a beautiful place for the whole family. Different trip with the wife or the significant other. Or if you just want to come as a group of guys, that's a different trip as well. You know how it is.
I've listened to your podcast before, Gil, the Vegas Lifestyle podcast, which you produce each and every year. So I understand the... is debauchery the right word, Gil?
Yeah, please don't hold that against me, that particular episode, please.
I love that
it's
podcast.
Funny, I do all these football and baseball episodes, and I prep, you know, just meticulously for them, Dave, hours. No one loves them as much as that one show where we just sit there and go nuts about Vegas from every perspective. So
let's get stuck into the week's action then, Gil. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Redskins to start things off this weekend. The Philadelphia Eagles are 20-27 on the money line. The Washington Redskins are 23-20, and on the spread it's 2.5. The Eagles minus 2.5 is 10-11. And the Redskins plus 2.5, 10-11. The total points is set at 44.5, with the under 10-11 and the over 10-11. A full range of markets on the William Hill website at williamhill.com. And the NFC East, which is the division these two franchises play in, isn't looking too shabby at the moment, Gil, with three teams above 500. And these two clash at FedEx Field on Sunday evening here in the UK, as the Redskins do welcome the Eagles. And the Eagles are sitting at 3-1 after losing their unbeaten record in Detroit last weekend, while the Washington Redskins, having dropped their first two games of the season, have reeled off three straight wins, Gil, two of which have come on the road in New York against the Giants and in Baltimore. The last time we talked about the Redskins, Gil, there wasn't that much optimism, but things have changed, and changed quickly for the better for the Washington Redskins.
I guess it depends how you look at that. I mean, look, you bank the wins, you bank the wins. A win is a win is a win, as they like to say, Dave. And so they are 3-2. That's their record, and that's awesome for the Redskins. But they are a 1-4 team in 3-2 wolves, you know, sheep's clothing, as they say. Did I get that right? Was it sheep or a wolf? I can never remember what kind of clothing we talk about in that expression. But you get the point. They are not a good football team. And last week's game against the Ravens, look, I grew up as a Redskins fan, and I know I've been accused of being a defeatist Redskins fan, so I'm always putting a poor spin on them. But truthfully, really, the Redskins are fortunate to be 3-2. The game against the Ravens last week, there is a litany of things that happened in that game that if any one of them didn't, the Redskins would not have won that football game. The most egregious of all of them, and I'll spare the list, but the most telling of all was a play where the Redskins had the ball at their own 3-yard line. Kirk Cousins, as he's wont to do, throws an interception, terrible one at that, to a linebacker, C.J. Mosley of the Ravens. Mosley returns it as if he's going to the house for a pick six, but instead he lunges, he reaches the ball over the goal line, and instead of getting there, he lets go of it, and it fumbles through the end zone, Redskins ball at the 20. So instead of a pick six, the Redskins not only throw a pick, not only don't make a tackle, not only don't recover a fumble, but get rewarded on a 17-yard gain. So first and 10 Redskins at their own 20, and they're better off than they were before the play even started. That is the quintessential play of Kirk Cousins' career. And that's kind of how the Redskins have been. Now, the real issue for this game is that the Redskins will not have, it does not appear that they will have, tight end Jordan Reed, who is in concussion protocol, as we do this, you know, about 48 hours before game time. And that cannot be overestimated. I mean, that cannot be overestimated. It is really, you know, a big loss for the Redskins, especially given the fact not only is he a safety blanket for Kirk Cousins, but he really notoriously beats up on the Eagles, specifically, does Jordan Reed. So that's a big loss for the Redskins offense. They're going to have to change around what they do. I almost think, Dave, that in this particular case, this is one of those situations where we can almost throw out all the talk about personnel. I can talk about Jordan Reed being out of the lineup as much as I want. I can talk about Carson Wentz perhaps finally coming back down to earth after his first three games in the NFL. Certainly a nice four games for Carson Wentz. But ultimately, this game is about the number. And the number has gone from the Redskins being a slight tick of a favorite to the Eagles being a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Washington. And I, even as bearish as I am about the Washington Redskins, cannot justify why that line is what it is. And I would recommend a almost mechanical wager on the Redskins in this game, because just the number alone makes no sense. Why are the Redskins 2.5-point dogs? They shouldn't be. At the worst, this should be a coin flip. If you buy into the fact that home field advantage in the NFL is 3 points, and I would argue in the Redskins' case, it's certainly not three. It might even be two. But let's just say that is the case, and you think that the Eagles are the better team. This is a coin flip. Why the Redskins are 2.5-point dogs makes no sense. That's why I would make a play on the Redskins here if I made one at all.
You mentioned Jordan Reed in that piece, Gil, and obviously he's going to be a huge loss for the Redskins if he is out of this matchup. I suppose they'll have to get more productivity from DeSean Jackson if that's the case, because he's only caught four passes in the past 2 weeks. He's got a habit. You mentioned Reed's got a habit of being a thorn in the Eagles' side. DeSean Jackson, since he left Philadelphia, has come back to haunt his old team on numerous occasions as well.
Yeah, he loves playing the Eagles, whether he'll admit it publicly or not. He may be a guy that will admit it publicly. He loves playing the Eagles. DeSean Jackson means so much to that Redskins offense as well. I mean, make no mistake, with he and Jordan Reed, there might be a little bit of chicken and egg. I mean, DeSean Jackson certainly opens up the field for Jordan Reed. But vice versa, having Jordan Reed as a weapon makes things easier on DeSean Jackson. But DeSean is a threat in any single game. He's a threat on every single snap because there's no one quite as fast. There's no one who can really keep up with him. But yeah, Cousins has sort of lost sight of him this year early on. So you would think he would want to incorporate DeSean into this game. Certainly the ground game has not given the Redskins any help this year. Matt Jones and company have not gotten it going. And that was pretty predictable with the Redskins. On the other side of the ball, the Redskins are particularly bad against the run. You know, I talked earlier about how the Redskins are so fortunate to be 3-2. Well, part of the reason that they're fortunate to be 3-2 is that in their last two victories, the last 2 weeks, both the Baltimore Ravens and Cleveland Browns, going backwards, inexplicably went away from the run against the Redskins. The Redskins are the single worst team in the NFL in terms of yards per rush allowed. They're allowing 5.1 yards per rush allowed. Now, Dave, you don't have to be a mathematician to realize that if you're giving up 5.1 yards per rush, you're going to get a first down every couple plays. I did the math for you. Don't worry about it. And with the Browns 2 weeks ago, you know, they mysteriously went away from Isaiah Crowell, who was just killing the Redskins. And they, in fact, went to their fullback, Malcolm Johnson, who fumbled the ball immediately, hadn't had a carry all year. Then they went to Duke Johnson, their backup running back. He fumbled the ball, and the Redskins got back in the game and won. Then last week, the Ravens were just destroying. They were gashing the Redskins. And they went away from the run inexplicably. And by the way, their offensive coordinator lost his job because of it. Mark Trestman was fired. That's how egregious it was. So the Eagles are thinking to themselves, well, look, we're just going to pound the Redskins line. And let's see if Kirk Cousins and company can keep up with us.
I'm with you, though, Gil. I think the Washington Redskins, I don't understand why they are receiving points in this divisional clash. I thought this would be a pick'em, Gil, and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the NFL. It's different from other markets. It's different from, you know, in terms of the sports that we like to bet on here stateside, basketball and baseball, the other sports, that is. The NFL, there's so much public money in this market that there are games like this where you almost should shut off the brain about personnel and matchups and all that. You just look at the number and you're like, all right, what is that? That doesn't make any sense. And just on that alone, the Redskins are the value here. And I really believe that. So I can disparage the Redskins in all the way I want and talk about how they're not really a 3-2 team. But if I'm betting against the spread here, I'll take the 2.5 points. Thank you very much.
Let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons against the Seattle Seahawks at the Seahawks on Sunday night, 9:25 p.m. start time, this one. And the Falcons are 23-10 on the money line. The Seahawks 10-27. And this spread is at 6 now. I think it has moved downwards in the last couple of days. The Falcons plus 6 is 10-11. The Seahawks minus 6 is 10-11. We've got the hottest offense in the NFL up against what is historically, in recent history anyway, the best defense in the Seattle Seahawks. And the Falcons are 4-1, having reeled off 4 straight wins after their opening week loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Seahawks are 3-1 and come into this potentially re-energized after a bye week last week. And my concern here, if you're looking to bet on the Atlanta Falcons, is they went up against Denver's defense last week, and now they've got Seattle's defense this week. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. You know, they did do one thing, though. They stayed out on the West Coast to alleviate the travel portion of this. So instead of flying back to Atlanta and flying back to Seattle, they stayed out West. So that part, head coach Mike Quinn figured, you know, let me not let that be part of this equation. It's tough enough to play Denver and Seattle's defense back-to-back, as you say. By the way, this is one of three great late games on Sunday. It's a very strange schedule this week where the early games, they're 9 early games. And if we weren't betting on these, if we were just watching these as fans, quite frankly, the 9 early games are kind of meh. They're not really that awesome. But the 3 late games, Kansas City, Oakland, Dallas, Green Bay, Atlanta, Seattle, these are really the marquee games. And I would argue Atlanta, Seattle is the marquee of the marquee. The Falcons, as you allude to, what a season they've had so far. I mean, a lot of sharp bettors really thought this was going to be a bad team and they're playing a really tough schedule. And so far, Atlanta Falcons have not been bothered whatsoever. They are first in the NFL, 7.2 yards per play on offense. Most notably, first in yards per pass attempt, 9.9 yards per pass attempt. Imagine that. Every time Matt Ryan drops back to pass and throws one, whether it's caught or not, the average of all of those, 9.9 yards on the gain. And there is as much distance, just to give you perspective on that, there's as much distance between Atlanta and number one at 9.9 yards per pass attempt, between them and number two San Diego at 8.2 yards per pass attempt, as there is between number two San Diego and the number 21 team.
Wow.
The Cleveland Browns. So Atlanta's just off the charts here in the first 5 games of the season. But you're right. This is Seattle. Seattle is still the bully on the block, as they say, Dave. I don't know who says it, but I'm just going to say as they say. Maybe I just came up with that. Seattle is still the perennial powerhouse. They've got the great defense. Again, their defense is great this year. Now, it has been against inferior competition. It has been against the Dolphins, the Rams, the Niners, and the Jets. I think of those 4 teams, only the Jets aren't like among the worst offensive teams statistically in football this year, and the Jets aren't really setting any records either. But Seattle, nonetheless, ranking 3rd in scoring defense, 13.5 points per game they've allowed through 4 games. But Seattle is coming off a bye week here. They've got rest. It couldn't have happened at a better time for them, Dave. Russell Wilson was banged up. Remember, he had not only the left knee sprain, but he had a right ankle issue. So he's had a week more to get that much more healthy. And Atlanta on defense is still Atlanta on defense. That's the thing about the Falcons. And that's why they're not really scaring anybody yet, because They're 27th in points allowed. They're giving up 28 points a game. And their pass rush has produced just 10 sacks through five games, despite consistently being in must-pass situations, offenses, opposing offenses, that is. So all they've had to do is bring the kitchen sink, and they've still only gotten to the quarterback 10 times in terms of sacks. So, you know, I'm a Seattle guy, and even though this number is 6, as I look at this across the board, I think you have it at 6 as well at Will Hill.
Yes, we do, yeah.
By the way, Will Hill, is that bad form? Should I say William Hill?
I'm happy enough with Will Hill, and I think until we are told otherwise, Gil, you can call us what you like.
How's Billy Hill? Is that disrespectful?
That's slightly more disparaging, I think, than Will Hill.
I'm kidding. You know, I think that I still, in given the choice here, would give the points. I really would, because I think this is sort of a game where Atlanta gets its comeuppance.
Are you surprised that Atlanta's defense hasn't improved, Gil? Because they have Dan Quinn now as head coach, and Dan Quinn, of course, will know all about Seattle's defense, given that he served as defensive coordinator for Seattle for a couple of years before becoming Atlanta's head coach. I'd have expected him to have focused on defense coming into Atlanta, but obviously he's flipped the script slightly, and he's focused on making the Falcons a real offensive weapon, and it's worked so far.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There have been times in football history where this has happened, where a coach gets hired for their expertise on one side of the football, and they end up being really successful because of nothing having to do with that particular side of the football. Most famously, I think Brian Billick, who was hired after leading the Minnesota Vikings offense to an NFL record number of points in the 1999 season, I believe it was. He was hired to be the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and they end up winning the Super Bowl, and they are known as the team to have won it with the worst offense and the worst quarterback ever. They were all defense. And so Atlanta, you know, this is sort of Billick Jr. here with Quinn, right? Their defense is still terrible. Quinn hasn't really made an impact on that side of the ball at all, but Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, I mean, what a season. 10.4 yards per completion while throwing 12 touchdowns against just 2 interceptions through 5 games. 26 completions, Dave, for Matt Ryan of 20-plus yards, 10 of 40-plus. That's just comical. Through 5 games, and of course, both of those lead the NFL. So, you know, what do you say? You got that going for you. You know, I guess you don't need much of a defense.
And he's throwing to Julio Jones, which helps as well. And I suppose one of the big matchups this weekend will be Julio Jones in coverage against Richard Sherman, who is a pretty fierce cornerback. And I debate whether or not Seattle are going to set up with one man or man-on-man coverage there with Sherman against Julio Jones, or they're going to double up on him like most other teams in the NFL have this season.
Well, you know, that game 2 games ago where Ryan threw for 503 yards and Julio Jones for caught 300 yards worth. I mean, that you will go a lifetime and never see that again, Dave. I mean, that just doesn't happen. It's the first time it's ever happened. It's probably the last time it's ever going to happen. Yeah, Seattle will have something planned, whether it's Sherman all the time on him, whether it's, you know, just play zone and play a certain side of the ball. Julio Jones has even said, he goes, hey, you know, whatever they bring, I'll be ready for it. And he will be. And he will be. My thing is this, though. Seattle, and listen, we come on the air. We do this Friday morning right after a Thursday night game. And we had a chance to see Denver play San Diego last night. And I will say this in retrospect. Now, having seen Denver play San Diego last night, it's fair to say that Atlanta win over Denver all of a sudden doesn't look that good anymore.
Yes.
And the reason for those of us who saw that game, it sort of, people probably nodding their head, because Denver looked awful on offense yesterday. And when your offense is as bad as that, and now we can say it's either whether with Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian now at this point, you know, that adds a lot of stress to your defense. And Denver's defense is great, but if you're on the field all day long or you're in constant stressful situations, at some point you're going to topple. And Atlanta was able to do that very easily against Denver. And after seeing Denver play every play of that game last night, I can sort of understand it a little more. Seattle's a different animal. Absolutely a different animal.
the Seattle Seahawks, the pick, minus 6 points against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's move on to primetime now with the Sunday night matchup between the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans, first of all, 1:30 a.m. Monday morning, this one. The Colts 6-4, the Texans 10-17, and this spread is currently 3. The Colts plus 3 at 20-21, the Texans minus 3 at 20-23. The total points is set at 48.5, and the under is 10-11 with the over 10-11. And this is a matchup in the AFC South, with the Texans top of the division at 3-2, and the Colts just a game behind at 2-3. And despite being top of the division, Gil, the heat is on the Texans quarterback, Brock Osweiler. After that 31-13 loss in Minnesota, Osweiler's performances are being scrutinised, and he's now thrown 7 interceptions this season, and only Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston have thrown more than him. I suppose that's the sort of scrutiny, Gil, that comes with the hefty price that the Texans paid to secure his signature in the offseason.
You said it perfectly. That's exactly what it is. I mean, if you don't sign a $37 million contract, if you're still, you know, let's say Brock Osweiler is still the lovable, cuddly backup quarterback who comes in when Peyton Manning goes down, right? Well, you know, there's no expectation. You know, he can only do well, and everything is a surprise when you do well. But now, in Houston, $37 million later, you're expected to be great, and he ain't great. You know, I mean, he's just not. He's a young quarterback. And when you put $37 million behind a guy like that, you're probably setting expectations unfairly. And so far, as you point out, he hasn't been good. 7 picks is only fewer than Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston of the Bucks, who has 8. Fitzpatrick has 10. And Osweiler, if you just go around the stats, I mean, he's taken every snap for them this season, the Texans, that is. His passer rating is 30th in the league, 32 teams, by the way. 31st in yards per play, meaning second to last. Only the Ravens are worse in yards per play in general in offense. Only the Niners are worse. And they're third to last in scoring average per game, 16.4 points. So, I mean, just a disaster of an offense at this point. But they lost J.J. Watt on defense. And I think we mentioned this on a previous podcast. Maybe it was mine, if not this one. If there was ever a team, and you don't replace J.J. Watt, so let me just start out by saying that. If there was ever a team that could overcome, let's say, J.J. Watt's absence, it is the Texans. They have 7 number one picks, meaning 7 first-round draft choices on that defense alone over the years, that they accrued over the years. That's a good defensive team. And this is a game, Indianapolis at Houston, as you point out, which is an AFC South game, even at 2-3 and 3-2 respectively, the Colts and Texans, in essence, and the Titans will have something to say about this too, they're also in the mix here. This is a game that could produce the AFC South leader. That's how bad this division is. And given that choice between two teams that are reeling, and both teams are, make no mistake, and we'll talk about the Colts, but I'll take the team with the good defense. I really do like the Texans in this game, giving the 3.
Texans minus 3 is 20-23. You said we were going to talk about the Colts, so let's do that. And the one thing you can say about the Indianapolis Colts is that pretty much every single week they are involved in a shootout, or they have been so far this season, because they do have an elite quarterback in Andrew Luck. And despite the fact that no matter who starts on that offensive line, they cannot protect him, he's still producing, and that's what makes him elite, I think, Gil. The fact that it doesn't matter who stood in front of him, how many times he's getting hit, he's getting back up and still throwing the ball to those receivers, and they're making plays. So they've got Andrew Luck, and that's about all you can hang your hat on if you're a Colts fan or a Colts bettor.
Yeah, I mean, you said it pretty accurately. I think that's not pretty accurately, but pretty exact. I mean, that's really the Colts. And think about how we've changed our perception of the Colts, first of all, Dave, like before we even get to this season. Just think about, like, 2 years ago, the Colts were on the cusp, we thought, of, you know, they weren't the Patriots quite yet, but man, if they could just put some weapons around Luck, they could be a contender for years to come. That was the perception of the Colts. You know, they were getting fairly deep into the playoffs. And a short you know, season later or season and some change later, this is what we're reduced to. We're reduced to sort of saying exactly how you characterize them. Every week, the Colts are involved in one of two game, one of two sort of scenarios. One, they fall way behind, and we get to find out if Luck can either dramatically take them all the way back or dramatically fall short, or they're just in a shootout from the beginning, and it's a game of Plinko, and we find out somebody, whoever gets the ball last wins, right, sort of thing. And that's almost without exception. I think there was one exception to that this year, but almost without exception, that's been how every game has gone. And this game, you know, I think the best unit on the field is that Houston defense. I think you have two really subpar units in the Houston offense and the Colts defense, and then you have the shakiness of that Colts offense, which is really Luck, one-man band. I don't want to disparage everybody else on that offense, but really it's about Luck. T.Y. Hilton is still his favorite weapon, and T.Y. Hilton's been great. But give me the Houston defense in this, and you mentioned, you know, their inability to protect Luck. 20 times, a league-high 20 times he's been sacked so far this year has Luck. The five alone last week, Dave, five times in the game. For a league-leading 126 yards, those 20 sacks for a grand total of 126 yards. Imagine going backwards 126 yards. By the way, when I used to watch football with my father, not that my father is no longer with us, but I don't get to watch football with him anymore. Whenever there was two consecutive bad plays on offense, let's say that went the, you know, that were negative plays, either a sack or a penalty or whatever, he always had the same line, which was, "Oh my God, they're going the wrong way," and that's what the Colts do a lot of. They go the wrong way, Dave. I just channeled my father on this show. He, you know, and the difference, though, as you point out, Luck still, even with that, ranks among the top five in the league in completions. He's second, actually, in that with 131. Third in pass attempts, because they're always having to pass. Fourth in yards passing. Fifth in touchdown passes with 10. But that's their game, right? They fall behind, yeah, or they get in a shootout, and that's what every game's like. And I just don't think in the end they'll be able to keep up with that Houston defense. Houston defense will stop them at key times in this game.
And the concern is, Gil, that you mentioned Luck has been sacked 20 times this season. There's only so much punishment a man can take. I know, yeah, Andrew Luck is one of the stoutest NFL quarterbacks in the league, but if he goes down, the Indianapolis Colts are done.
Oh, man, are they done. Yeah, I mean, you could make a case. If you think about, you know, what player means the most to their team? What player's absence would affect their team the most? And we've gotten to see Tom Brady not playing for the Patriots for 4 weeks, right? So even if we thought intuitively, well, probably a guy like Tom Brady. No, because Bill Belichick is a genius, and they'll figure out a way to actually be a good football team even without Tom Brady. But if you took Andrew Luck away from the Colts, my God, how bad would they be?
The Houston Texans, the pick, minus the 3 points on Sunday night. Let's move on to Monday night football. The New York Jets at the Arizona Cardinals, Tuesday 1:30 a.m. UK time, this one. Monday night football in the States. And the Jets are 11-4 on the money line to win this one. The Cardinals are 2-7. And this is over a touchdown. 7.5 the spread. The Jets are with the points at 10-11. The Cardinals minus 7.5 at 10-11. At the start of the season, Gil, it would have been reasonable, I think, to expect both these franchises to be in a better position than they are in going into the sixth week of the season. The Cardinals are giving away the points, but they're only 2-3 and in third place in the NFC West, while the New York Jets are 1-4 and trailing both New England and Buffalo in the AFC East. I suppose if you're measuring optimism coming into this match, the Cardinals have a heck of a lot more. They're a franchise that went 13-3 last year. They've got a good running back in David Johnson, a decent defense, and Carson Palmer back in at quarterback as well. So from a purely optimism spectrum, if you will, the Cardinals have a lot more going for them.
Yeah, I guess the question is, can they cover 7.5 points, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's that's always, as my friend on my podcast Ace likes to say, the great equalizer. Arizona is interesting because big things were expected of them this year. Big things. They coming off a big 13-3 year last year. I believe that was their record. And things haven't gone well for them. They just haven't clicked on offense in the same way that they did last year. They just haven't, whether it's been Palmer or Drew Stanton. It just hasn't looked as fluid. But they do get Palmer back here, and it is a home game, and they are notoriously a better team at home than they are on the road. So they get to play on the turf, and the Jets, as you pointed out, have had all kinds of problems on defense. They rank last in average yards per pass, giving up 9.2 yards per pass. The Jets have given up, you know, huge, huge plays at an alarming rate, big plays, that is. And it could get even worse here versus the Cardinals because we don't really know if Darrell Revis is going to play. And even if he does play, he might be limited because of a nagging hamstring injury. They're also, the Jets are, without Eric Decker, their wide receiver, their number two wideout. He's done for the year now, Dave, placed on injured reserve, scheduled to undergo shoulder surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff if he hasn't done so already. So they come in depleted. The Cardinals have issues on their offensive line as well because they're going with some young guards to protect Carson Palmer. And the Jets' defensive front is good. So I could see the Jets creating enough havoc up front to make this a little tougher for the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals win here. Question is, can they cover? It's 7.5, and when you go through that key number of 7, it always gets a lot tougher. So this is a tough one.
It is. It is. And you mentioned those starting guards out, Evan Mathis and Mike Iupati, both expected to miss at least 1 week, possibly 2 weeks, and that Jets defensive line is ferocious. And I think that's something that Bruce Arians addressed in the lead-up to the matchup as well, saying that his line has to step up because they've got to protect Carson Palmer. And it is 7.5, and that is through that key number. I get the feeling this is one that you'd like to swerve, Gil.
It is. That's very well done. It is one that I'd like to swerve, the image of me just swerving around it. but it is a – you know, if I'm forced to make a pick here, if there's a gun to my head, and Lord knows Americans love their guns, Dave, what can I tell you? he says embarrassed. I think that the Cardinals in the prime time situation are probably the play because David Johnson has been a revelation this year. Maybe not a revelation. People knew he was good last year and he was a very high fantasy pick. But even if you were bullish on David Johnson, I think you'd be really pleased at what he's done through 5 weeks this year. NFC Offensive Player of the Week last week, 157 yards against the Niners last Thursday night. So that's the other thing here, is that the Cardinals have extra rest coming into this game as well. And that helped Carson Palmer get off the concussion protocol. That helps everybody get just that much more healthy. And this is really an opportunity for the Cardinals. You know, you win this game, as badly as you've played, you're all of a sudden you're 500 again. And at 3-3, I said this on my show too, you sort of get to reset the season. You're like, okay, that didn't go that well, but you know what? It certainly wasn't a disaster either. We're 3-3, and we have 10 games left. If we even go 7-3, we're probably in the playoffs. Anything above that, we're golden. And that's pretty realistic for a team like the Cardinals. But, you know, they can only say that if they get to 3-3. 2-4 is a disaster for a team with those kind of expectations. So I do think you'll get the best from the Cardinals here. And Todd Bowles, who used to play for Bruce Arians when he was a player at Temple University in Philadelphia, and who was more famously Arians' defensive coordinator before getting the head coaching job at the Jets, man, Bruce Arians does not want his pupil to beat him in this game either, if you believe in such narratives. So I'm all about the Cardinals winning, and forced to make a pick, I would actually give the points as well.
That's the four games covered on the slate this weekend on the podcast. Gil, all that's left is your pick six this week. So your six best bets for week number six in the National Football League. And remember, if you're betting here with William Hill and one lets you down either on the money line, the spread, or the total points, William Hill will refund your stake as a free bet. So do check out the terms and conditions on the William Hill website. Gil, what are your six best bets this weekend?
Well, it's that time of the week. Hey, how about it took me 4 weeks to warm up, but we had ourselves a pretty good week last week, finally. It's been a very weird NFL season. The pick six for this week, though, let's start out with that Philadelphia-Washington game we spoke about. Again, very mechanical here. The Redskins should not be 2.5-point dogs at home in a division game against the Eagles, period. The Redskins are pick number one, and you don't often hear me say the Redskins are my pick, but they are. Pick number two, we also discussed Seattle giving six, hosting the Atlanta Falcons. This is the game where Atlanta finally gets their comeuppance. Seattle remains the bully on the block, and Seattle announces themselves in this game as the team to beat in the NFC. Seattle is pick number two. Pick number three, another team that started out shaky, but they will announce themselves with this game. The Green Bay Packers, who are now just 4-point favorites hosting the Dallas Cowboys. This game was 7 early in the week. It's now 4. You don't see a line move that drastically, but I'll take the Packers, give the 4 points at home against the Cowboys. Thank you very much. The Packers are pick number three against the Cowboys team, where I think Dak Prescott runs into a little trouble in this game. The Green Bay Packers only allow 2.0 yards per rush attempt, so Ezekiel Elliott and that Cowboys offensive line are going to finally meet their kryptonite in this game. Pick number four we discussed, which was the Houston Texans giving 3 Sunday night to the Indianapolis Colts. I like Houston. I like that defensive unit to rule the night. Houston is pick number four, giving the 3. Pick number five, yet another favorite. All chalk here so far, Dave. Buffalo giving the points, hosting Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers. And it's a lot of points, dude. 9 of them. But I'm taking Buffalo. I think the Niners are going to have a lot of trouble in this game. Buffalo's a good football team. San Francisco, worst offense in the league. I know it's not with Kaepernick, but they've been the worst. And Buffalo really runs the football well. I see them dominating the line of scrimmage in this game. Pick number six, I am going with the dog in this one, the Jacksonville Jaguars, on the road against the Chicago Bears. What's the number you're seeing right now here, Dave? I've got the Jaguars as 2.5-point dogs. That's what you're seeing?
That's what I'm seeing as well, Gil, yes.
Yeah, Jacksonville's the pick for me, just like I went with him in London, and that was successful in the London game a couple weeks ago. Jacksonville's got extra rest here. They're going into a city in a game against a team that's not very good at all, and I think Jacksonville's better than their 1-3 record suggests. I think Jacksonville's just the better football team, and the wrong team is favored here. I like the Jaguars as pick number six.
Very good. So Redskins, Seahawks, Packers, Texans, Bills, and Jags on the spread as Gil's 6 best bets this weekend. Thank you for your company on this podcast, Gil.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Remember, do follow Gil on Twitter at Beating the Book. He produces a couple of leading NFL podcasts out there with the Guessing the Lines podcast, which is out on Monday, and the Megapod, which is out right now, Thursday afternoon, previewing the games in the NFL. Gil, good luck with those 6 picks this weekend, and I'm looking forward to catching up next weekend.
Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, man.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.